NFL insider. Coming up next on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Zolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. He joins us on the Out of Bounds show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Good morning. Welcome in to the show. We want to tell you about the purple mattress at any of the Miskelly Furniture or Miskelly Sleep Stores. No other mattress can compare to the purple mattress. The reason is simple. No one else has the purple grid. And the Purple Gel Flex Grid is everything. Memory foam, temperature neutral, instantly flexes to your every move, perfectly adapting to support your body, doesn't trap heat. The Purple Mattress from any of the Miskelly Sleep Stores. Good morning. Welcome in. We welcome in Steve Palazzolo on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Hey, are you fired up? All right, so you made it to AAA San Francisco Giants. Are you fired up about opening day, Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow baseball as much as I used to, but I get fired up for opening day. Absolutely. And especially living in Cincinnati, they should shut down work here. It's almost like a holiday, opening day. Have a big parade, sell out the stadium. It's like a whole ordeal over here in Cincy.
You know, Jeff Brantley is your color analyst. They call him Cowboy Red. And yep. He played at Mississippi State. He was on the 85 College World Series team with Rafael Palmeiro and Will Clark and Bobby Thigpen. I was 12 years old, and I was obsessed with that team and got to see him play, you know, a few dozen times in both 83, 84, and 85. And Jeff comes in studio and hangs out with us, and he talks about how rabid – the Cincinnati Reds fan base is in Cincinnati. And when they do the tour in January or February and they go to all the affiliates in the state of Ohio, Steve, you know, to kind of pump everybody up and get people going. And he said it's the one of the craziest things he's experienced.
Yeah. It's a really cool fan base over here. It really is. I mean, they've been down for a few years with, you know, just not great teams and losing a lot of their key players. But with Ellie De La Cruz back and everything, you kind of sense it. I mean, I go to, like, a Reds Fest in December and bring the kids, and it's packed. It is a really fun baseball town. And, yeah, the opening day tradition, I mean, that goes back over 100 years. So they do make a huge deal out of it. So I'm hoping I don't run into traffic right now as I head downtown to the office, and not sure where the exact parade route is going right now.
Hey, Noah, let me know if the Reds – are they playing there today, Steve?
Yeah, they start – they're at 4 Eastern. So they'll – they got the parade goes for like 3 or 4 hours throughout the day. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, it kind of makes sense what happened in the 70s there with the big red machine. And I know they were baseball crazy prior to that. But so who do you consider as the – I mean, with that group of four and Johnny Bench, and then Griffey came over eventually, and then young Griffey. Who is the most famous Cincinnati Red?
Oh, Pete Rose.
Yeah, Rose. Rose. Yeah. Got it. Before people he went to the Phillies. Got it.
They're still talking about Pete over here. But, yeah, you still hear people reminisce about the Big Red Machine and then the random, you know, 1990 team that was like
Rob Dibble
started like 12-0. Yeah, Dibble and Charlton and Eric Davis was on that team. Billy Hatcher was World Series MVP. You still hear people talking about that 1990 team that pretty much went wire to wire and won the World Series against the A's.
Rob Dibble. I want to hang out with him. Probably 25 years ago would have been a better. Steve Palazzolo, NFL insider. Hey, do you remember when Dibble was on, was Dan Patrick's co-host?
I mean, I remember him exploding on ESPN at various points. I don't remember him co-hosting unless they brought him in and said, let's see what happens here.
No, so when Dan started on radio, it was unbelievable. When Patrick started on ESPN radio, Steve P, this was like, Jackson, let me know, it was like 99 or something. He and Dibble had their own show, and it was unbelievable.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's great.
99. Okay. Yeah, because when I started in sports talk radio.
I'm driving by a Pete Rose jersey right now, by the way.
Are you really?
Just as a heads up. Yeah, a guy's pumping gas in a Pete Rose jersey just to back up what I said.
I love it.
The most popular red.
That guy is locked in. He is ready. He's going to the parade, and he is ready for opening day baseball for the Cincinnati Reds. For our listeners, I'm sure you figured this out. Pro Football Focus headquarters is in Cincinnati, Ohio, and some guy named Chris Collinsworth played for the Cincinnati Bengals after he left the University of Florida, and that's where Steve Palazzolo works, evidently downtown. So Jeff Brantley has told me for years, I've got to take him up on this. He's like, dude, if you ever come up, I'll get you great tickets. He said, you have to see how passionate, even though they've lost too much, you have to see how passionate this fan base is. And, you know, we've got those fan bases in pro sports that they won at some point, Steve, and they're still. I have to tell you about this game-changing product I used before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to ZBiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers.
And the Reds do a great job. You know, I get the four boys. I take them to a bunch of games throughout the year. And it's a good spot. So I'm rooting for the Reds. I've adopted them as my National League team. You know, I'm rooting for them to do well and, you know, get back on track.
Yeah. Do you have a jersey?
I have a jersey because I got to play on the field a couple years ago. So they made a jersey for me as part of like a special game. So that's all I have.
Jersey. Your boys have jerseys.
They have like a kids package where they get free jerseys and free tickets every year. I mean, it's like $30. You get tickets, jersey, bobbleheads, the whole thing. So it's really great.
Dude,
they all have jerseys. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Okay, I can't name one player on the Cincinnati Reds team. I know you just said a couple of players.
Ellie De La Cruz. He's one of the most exciting players in baseball. He's amazing.
Okay.
He stole second, third, and home last year.
I know who that is. I've seen him on social media.
That's it.
Yeah, I've watched him.
Yeah, he's worth the price of admission, I'd say.
Okay. Are y'all supposed to be good this year, or do you know?
They got bet. When Ellie got called up last year, they went on a stretch where they were really hot. So I think there's that, like, fringe playoff type of hope here because they were really bad at first, and then they did turn it around. So I think there's a chance to make a run.
Okay. You know, I was watching a Tom Brady interview over the weekend. That's where I am in my life. I'm an empty nester, and, you know, I'm out in the man cave, and I'm watching a Tom Brady interview over the weekend. So, on YouTube and on my TV. But anyway, he mentioned, I thought this was cool, and I thought about you. They were asking Brady about, hey, you know, who were your childhood sports idols? Growing up in the Bay Area. And obviously Joe Montana was one, but he said, what y'all don't realize is baseball was my first love. And my dude was Will Clark. And he says it on this interview. He's on the stage. It's like a corporate thing where they paid him to come in and tell his story, which was really cool. He did a great job. He was casual and cool and told he went through even more than I had read on him as far as how far he had to come in junior high and high school and whatnot. But anyway, he was like, dude, I loved Will the Thrill. And I went,
oh, yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Not to make it too much about baseball, but, you know, when I was with the Giants, Will was one of the, you know, he had one of those fake titles, special assistant to the GM, where he got to just, you know, wear a uniform during spring training and hang out, right? And there was a bunch of those, you know, former legends that were around. And he was like, I never talked to Will Clark because he always has that intense look on his face. And, you know, there was guys like Lee Smith who were one of those coaches who was awesome and approachable. And I was always so afraid to talk to Will Clark because he felt so intense, right? And you have that history of watching him, how intense he is playing. But it was really cool. Yeah, he was amazing, amazing player. He used to always imitate his batting stance and everything. Will was great.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, he was the number one. Mississippi State and Ole Miss didn't do much in the 80s in sports. And so that 85 team was, you know, the biggest team within, you know, 15 years before and 15 years after in this state. And Will, every kid, regardless of who they rooted for, wanted to be Will Clark in the state. Yeah. By the way, you're right on Will's personality. You know, he's a lot. And I've interviewed him before, and he is many a times, and he's rough. He has finally, you know, kind of taking his foot off the accelerator lately. They did two statues outside of Duty Noble, Steve, of him, of Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro. Okay. And we got him on after the statue unveiling, and it was the most relaxed, and he showed gratitude and was, you know, thankful and all that. But you're right, man. He was brash, rough around the edges, and super intense. Now, you just mentioned Lee Smith. Are you talking about the Lee Smith that was the reliever for the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. So he wasn't a former Giant, but he was one of our roving pitching instructors. And I called him the roving storyteller because he would just talk to everybody, tell stories. You know, he was on my – I grew up in Boston, so late 80s, Red Sox. You know, he was there for a couple of years. He was telling me stories about Wade Boggs and that whole team. So, yeah, Lee was – awesome as a coach.
Oh my God, he was one of my favorite players in the 80s. I had all his baseball cards, and when the Cubs were good for that 1 second in 84, it took him, I've always said it took him an hour and a half to walk from the bullpen to the mound when they called him in.
That's because he told us he was sleeping in the clubhouse till about the seventh inning. They'd have to go wake him up and then head out to the bullpen, warm up, and go pitch the eighth and ninth. Like that's just how he was.
That is so awesome. Okay, all right, I had to do a little baseball on opening day for my guy that made it to AAA San Francisco Giants. He's now an NFL insider, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. Okay, let's switch gears. There's some debate with maybe a sliver of people over the wide receiver position as we head into the NFL draft between our Ohio State guy and our LSU guy. Where does it land for Steve Palazzolo and the Pro Football Focus team as we head into, you know, as we're a month and change away from the draft?
Yeah, it's getting really interesting between Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State and then Malik Nabers from LSU. I think everybody at PFF is on board with Marvin Harrison Jr. as the top wide receiver. You know, it was all, you know, based on film and watching multiple years of his route running, his feel for the position, body control. I mean, he was expected to be this generational type of wide receiver prospect. Hate using that term, but you know, he was the clear cut top receiver. But now Malik Nabers is such an incredible athlete. We just saw that at Pro Day yesterday, ran in the 4.3s, high 4.3s, 42 inch vertical. It shows up on film. He's extremely explosive after the catch, before the catch. And he had an awesome season. You know, Nabers is also really physical. So if you're building a wide receiver prospect and you say he's big, fast, tough over the middle, and can run routes, it's like, all right, that's a receiver. That's a wide receiver one. So it's close. And there's been rumblings around the NFL that teams have Nabers as the top receiver. And there's more rumblings now, especially after he ran in the 4.3s. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. refused to, he chose to opt out of all workouts. So I do think that probably hurts perception a little bit for Marvin Harrison because he doesn't have those times, and Neighbors just keeps, you know, stacking wins in this offseason in their little battle to be wide receiver one. So I think it's close, but I'm still going to stick with what we saw on film and, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. being the top receiver for everything that he brings to the table as an all-around multi-level threat at the position.
Okay. I thought you – it was a second there. I thought you were going to go Malik Neighbors. But so you're a Big Ten homer since you live in Ohio. Is this what I'm reading here, picking up?
Ohio State fans are kind of obnoxious, so I am an unbiased NFL draft analyst, so I don't care about the school stuff, but I might slightly root against Ohio State just because the fan base is, it's kind of funny when they get upset. So yeah, there's no Ohio bias in me here.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that the LA Chargers are drafting at number five? Harbaugh went on and on yesterday or the day before about how important the offensive line unit is, the most important thing in the building, on the field, for any team. And I think he's right. But, you know, I look at these mock drafts that have the LA Chargers picking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Harbaugh goes, you know, offensive tackle or something like that. What do you think Mr. Harbaugh does in his first draft for the LA Chargers at number, if they stay at number five, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because obviously that's Harbaugh's nature. That's what got Michigan back on the map, is the ability to run the ball, and not just with an offensive line, but they throw three tight ends out there as well. I mean, that's just what they want to do. But I think you have to look at the moves they've made this offseason. You lose Keenan Allen, you lose Mike Williams. You know, Josh Palmer is essentially the top wide receiver. Last year's first rounder, Quentin Johnston, didn't show signs of being even a starter in this league. You know, he's got a lot of work to do to develop. So it just feels like the need is going to match up with the blue chip players of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Neighbors. Now, the other blue chip that I think, you know, in that top six or seven is Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame. You know, the Chargers have Rashawn Slater at left tackle. You would have Alt come in, play right tackle, which is fine. I think that's as valuable as left tackle anyway. So I think it's a real debate for the Chargers, and as much as Harbaugh wants to run the ball, their receiving core is so bad. You're still going to win and lose with Justin Herbert throwing the ball. I think they have to take and will end up leaning one of those wide receivers, whether it is Harrison Jr., whether it is Malik Neighbors, even Rome Odunze from Washington, I think is in that mix because, you know, enough teams have him as also a true wide receiver one. So I would lean Chargers are going to take a receiver, but it is very tempting, I think, to take Joe Alt from Notre Dame. I know there's others up there too, but I think Alt is the clear top tackle prospect, but I'll say the Chargers go receiver.
Wow. I wonder how much Harbaugh and the general manager, I don't know his name, I'm sure you do. I wonder how much they'll go back and forth or how much Harbaugh will waffle on that because he is such a build the offensive line guy.
I mean, the one thing you have to consider is the scarcity of things, right? So when you're sitting there at five, what can you get with your second pick if you really need a receiver? This is a loaded receiver class. And while there's certainly, I don't think you're getting a Marvin Harrison Jr. or a Malik Neighbors in the second round, there is a ton of receiver talent. You can get one or two good receivers, you know, an A.D. Mitchell maybe lands in the second, a Ladd McConkey. You can get some playmakers in the second round. It's harder to get elite offensive linemen or starting caliber offensive linemen in the second, third, fourth round. You can get multiple receivers later in the draft. So that's the discussion I think happening in the draft room with the Chargers is when you take those positions matched up against, you know, your player grades and how you feel about those players.
So there's not even a whisker's worth of difference between Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from Ohio State, and Malik Neighbors, wide receiver from LSU. You'd be fine as a GM if you're at five or six. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, would be okay. You get either one. Is that right or no?
Yeah, I mean, I would be. You're getting different things. I think Neighbors has more. He's more explosive. He's more of a big play threat. And I think Marvin Harrison's more of a technician. And that's not to knock him. You know, I would say Justin Jefferson is more of a technician, and he can also create big plays as well. So I think you can get similar production out of those two guys. It might just happen a little differently.
Okay. All right, I got to go to Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. How are you on him? Do you think he's off by the 10th pick? And again, these people may shuffle around, but right now the Jets are the 10th pick in the draft. And so even depending on what happens, do you think Bowers is off the board out of Georgia, tight end, in the top 10 picks, Steepy?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Bowers to the Jets as the most common mock draft pick. I think you're already seeing that. And just because they added Mike Williams, they have Garrett Wilson. They just released one of their tight ends, and it just makes sense, right? You're like, hey, you know they're going to – you think they're going to go offense. You know they're trying to make one last run with Aaron Rodgers for the next year or two. Go get the playmaking tight end to complement the receivers. So I think that part makes sense. Bowers is special. I think he is. You know, what he's able to do after the catch as a route runner, his athleticism, really is an incredible player. I think the – where you want to buyer beware, you know, just kind of like alert those things, it is difficult for tight ends to come in, hit the ground running, and make an impact. Now, all of that said, we just saw Sam Laporta in Detroit play like one of the best tight ends in the league as a rookie last year. We saw Dalton Kincaid kind of become the top target for the Bills at various stretches last year, where they really started to feed him over the middle of the field and in the short area stuff. So it's not impossible. But, you know, we're also 3 years removed from seeing Kyle Pitts from Florida go number four overall. He looked like one of the best tight end prospects, you know, in a long time, and he had one good season, and then they've had trouble getting him the football. So that's the tricky part, is taking a tight end that high. Other tight ends like a TJ Hawkinson a couple of years ago, he goes in the top eight. It took him 3 or 4 years to develop, and then he became one of the better tight ends in the league after the Lions traded him, or as the Lions were getting ready to trade him to Minnesota. So with tight ends, sometimes they take a few years to develop. That's the only risky part. But I think Bowers has an opportunity to be a special playmaker, difference maker, you know, mismatch creator. But you're going to have to lean into that if you're an offense and make sure you're moving him around and creating those mismatches. So I think Bowers is worth a top 10, top 15 pick, especially, you know, if he goes to the right team that will lean into the skill set.
Dude, you drop Bowers with who the Jets have around Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I'd do that and try to make, like you said, one more run for a year max, too. Would it Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com, on the show. We got time for one more. Would you be surprised if J.J. McCarthy is better than Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels in his pro career?
I've said this before. I cop out of all the QB evaluations because, like, I'm not going to be surprised by anything anymore. Would you be surprised if Brock Purdy started leading the team to the Super Bowl after the way he looked at the end of Iowa State, his run?
That's a good point.
So not really, but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rank him that high. I mean, I would rank J.J. McCarthy as QB4 for whatever that's worth in this draft. You know, I still think people are sleeping on Drake May. I don't know why. I'm really surprised that his hype has really cooled across the draft community. But yeah, I still think Caleb Williams is the clear top one. And when you say that, I mean, it involves probabilities. Like, this is all probabilistic thinking, Bo. You know, it's like who has the highest percentage chance of, you know, becoming a star or becoming a starter, whatever it might be. It's still Caleb Williams. I think Drake May is right behind him. Jaden Daniels, I think, has some flaws, but a lot of tools to work with. And you can lean into him as a run game contributor. And then J.J. McCarthy, like, you know, his upside I think is there because you just haven't seen him in a pass first offense. You haven't seen him have to carry the load, but he's very talented. The Michigan offense did look much different with J.J. McCarthy after their previous QB situation, and so there's something there, but I think there's more question marks with J.J. McCarthy, I would say, than some of those other top QBs.
J.J. McCarthy and Sean Payton, I think that could work. I do.
Might have to trade up to get him with all the hype that J.J. is getting right now.
Yeah.
There's talk of him going 2, 3, or 4, and I am
easy
surprised. Yeah.
Okay. I'm
surprised.
Of course, I agree. I think Jaden Daniels could be exposed. I know he had a great year. He played for a big brand. They put up a bunch of numbers. Their defense was terrible. He had insane talent around him, including, you know, neighbors who you just talked about and did a great job kind of framing him up. I think Jaden Daniels could be exposed. All right, I hope you stay away from the Cincinnati Reds parade. I hope you have a great weekend. And the draft is here. We're going to have fun the next few weeks. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, and happy opening day. Always a great day.
Boom. Happy opening day from Steve Palazzolo, AAA San Francisco Giants. Now NFL Insider, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. He joined us on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Don't forget, a great place to watch the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 is the Keg House, Highway 51 right by Casadora's. They got the muffalettas, the gumbo, 41 beers on tap, including Key City. Back in a sec.